Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, these are God's words. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Lord Jesus is exalted. Exalted means lifted up on high. You will be lifted up when you humble yourself. Scripture says, if you humble yourself in front of the Lord, that he will exalt you. So you make yourself low. You serve others. You don't seek to be praised. You treat others' interests, others' needs, as more important than your own, says the Bible. And that he will lift you up in due time. He does this not only by giving you that honor which is good for you to receive, glorifying for him that his servant, his child, would be honored. And it is good, and it will come, of course, in full measure when you are lifted up to heaven, not only your soul immediately passing into glory at your death, but then when your body is lifted up out of the ground, glorious, like Jesus' glorious body planted, that dead, decaying thing, and having sprouted and grown, as it were, to use the illustration that the Holy Spirit uses in 1 Corinthians 15, coming out of the ground, fully formed and fruitful, like Jesus' glorious body. So it's true, you, when you humble yourself, you will be lifted up. Jesus, of course, has been resurrected already, and he has ascended into heaven, where even in heaven, there's a great throne. And in the book of Revelation, it tells us that the Lamb sits in the midst of the throne, that the Lord Jesus sits in the midst of the throne, and everyone worships him there. And he is the one who receives all of the worship, not only of those who are in heaven, but he will also receive every knee bowing of those that are on the earth, says verse 10, and those that are under the earth, says verse 10. So there are no other options. All knees everywhere, in all the created order. Victoria, don't do that with your eyes. We worship. All knees everywhere, in the whole created order will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, this happens for reasons, according to the beginning of verse 9. If you look at the beginning of verse 9, you will see that verse starts with the word therefore. So it looks back to the fact that Christ Jesus is in the very form of God. So you are in the form of a man. All the properties of being human belong to you. Jesus is in the form of God. All the properties of being God belong to him. So he is exalted because it is the right of his person. It is his right. He is God. God the Son from all eternity. We know from Scripture that our God is triune. He is God, one God, and yet three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is that second person. Very God of very God. Everywhere that the Lord says in the Scripture, I am Yahweh. I am God, and there is no other, where he calls himself Almighty God. Yahweh is Jesus. Almighty God is Jesus. The Holy One of Israel is Jesus. All of those things are entirely his. And he has the right to that name. All the glory belongs to him. We must guard in our minds and our hearts against ever thinking, when you look at those things, of primarily the Father. Because Jesus tells us that He is God, and that if you have seen Him, you have seen the Father. That's all of the Father you will ever get to see. And Philip wanted to see more, and Jesus told him, that's it. You have seen Him. He is Me. And so, He is exalted because it is the right of His person. But He's also exalted because He proves Himself even as a man when He dies on the cross for our sins. And when He is able to save us by His death, He proves that He is Yahweh. Look at Isaiah 45. Or if you don't have your Bible open or not that good at the flipping, you can just listen. Isaiah 45, the last five verses of that chapter, the Lord says this. He says, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, Yahweh? There is no other God besides Me, a just God and Savior. There is none besides Me. Look to Me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. So you hear that. He says, there's only one Savior, and that Savior is God. You look to no one for your salvation but God. And then God sends His Son. And He names Him Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. And He says that in 1 Corinthians 15 that He died on the cross for our sins. That as of first importance, that was the news of salvation. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins to save us. So He alone is the Savior. And He goes on in Isaiah 45. I have sworn by Myself, the word has gone out of My mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to Me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Do those words sound familiar? So the Holy Spirit in Philippians chapter 2 is saying that Jesus is exalted not only because it's His divine right, it's His right as His person to be praised as Yahweh, but that He, by saving us from our sins, proves, again, on top of His right as His person, it being His right as His person, has proved that He is Yahweh. That to Him, the knees that are commanded to bow to Yahweh in Isaiah 45, verse 23, are commanded to bow to Jesus. That to Him, the mouths that confess that Yahweh alone is God in Isaiah 45, 23, now confess for unending ages that Jesus Christ is that Lord, that Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. So no glory is taken from God the Father, but He makes display of Himself in His Son. He says, in My Son, I show Myself to be your Savior. And so when you recognize that My Son is Yahweh, when you recognize that My Son has saved you by dying on the cross for your sins, you are glorifying Me, says the Father, as you glorify Jesus to be Yahweh God. So everyone, what is this oath that we take, according to Isaiah 45, verse 23? He shall say, this is what we shall say, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. To Him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against Him. So even those who are not His will be put to shame by the display and the confession that the One that they rejected from being their Redeemer is the Creator of all the earth, God over all the earth, the King over all kings, the Lord over all lords, as they suffer His wrath forever and ever. he is glorified even then. They say he is Yahweh and I hate him. Because that is what the wicked do as they receive that burning destruction from him and from the glory of his presence forever. And then the end of the end of Isaiah 45 there. In Yahweh all the descendants of Israel shall be justified, that is, shall be made right with God, and shall glory. So in this way, Jesus is lifted up, and in this way, you are lifted up. When you are the saved of Jesus, saved by Jesus, and he is your joy, and he is your glory, and his glory is reflected upon you, and enjoyed by you forever and ever. So he is exalted because it is the light of his person. He is exalted because he proves himself to be Yahweh by being the Savior. He has been displayed as a propitiation, Romans 3:25 says. So Romans 1 says our sin and our guilt is as great as the glory of God. And Romans 3:25 says Jesus on the cross is displayed being as great and greater than our sin and our guilt. And so when Jesus is displayed as our propitiation, God is displaying his Son and saying of his Son, he is at least as glorious as I am, marvelous. He's exalted because by saving us on the cross, he proves himself to be Yahweh. And finally, he is exalted because the Father loves him and is pleased with him. He says at his baptism, this is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased, as Jesus is about to set out on his earthly ministry. Not only is the Father in that eternal love with his Son and eternal pleasure in his Son that he's always had, but now as Jesus has added to himself his human nature and as he is being displayed to the world in his public ministry, the Father takes the first place of saying that he loves his Son and is pleased with him. And then at his transfiguration up on the mountain, he says it again up on the mountain, as Jesus is about to go and die. You remember that's what Moses and Elijah were talking about with him, and they're talking about Jesus going to the cross, and Peter says, oh, you're talking about going to the cross, we should have a camp out on the mountain. St. Peter, who when Jesus said that he was going to die and rise again, Peter told him no, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. But do you remember how the Father responds to that conversation between the Son and Moses and Elijah? He says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And Jesus himself says in John 10, in verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And so there is a special obedience that Jesus offers unto his Father, and a special self-giving love unto us that he offers unto us when he goes to the cross for our sins. And after describing Jesus humbling himself to the death, point of death, and even the death of the cross, verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him, not just because it is his right as God the Son, the second person, not just because he's shown himself to be Yahweh by being that only Savior whom all the ends of the earth are commanded to look to for their salvation, but also because this most of all and best of all of everything that the Lord Jesus did in his earthly life, this was most lovely to the Father and most pleasing to the Father, and therefore God also has highly exalted him. And he's given him that name, Yahweh, that is above every name, and especially Jesus Christ, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be known how? In what name? Would be known in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ. So that even though we baptize into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which you have heard several times now, in your lives, we are baptizing into the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the name by which the triune God has been pleased to be known and to be praised, and the Father loves to give his Son the honor of having that name by which the triune God is known, because he loves him and he's pleased with him. Now, if our God loves the exaltation, the praise of Jesus Christ so much, shouldn't we love the praise of Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we want him to be honored and glorified by our own hearts, by our own mouths? Shouldn't we want not just our knees to bow and our tongues to confess, but every time we gather like this in family worship, every time we gather in a public worship, every time we go off in the morning, wherever it is that we go, and we read and we pray and maybe sing, that by the Holy Spirit's help, we would glorify Jesus from our hearts. God is glorifying his Son. And we should imitate our God, and we should want not just us to do it, but as we love and sharpen one another in the church and pray for the other members of the church and for the other congregations of Christ's church, should desire that they also would see and love the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And then as we pray for the lost to be saved here and around the world, and as we tell people about Jesus and lifting up our hearts to him, asking him to help them see, to make them see Christ as their God and Christ as the God who died to be their Savior, we should desire that they would praise Jesus Christ as God, that he would be glorified. All shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. All knees eventually will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. But we should love the praise of his glory, not just from the Father, but from as many as he would redeem, to praise and enjoy him forever. My dear children, I hope and pray for you that the glory of Jesus in your own heart and on your own lips and in your lives would be your highest aim, and that you would desire it more and more for the rest of your life. Let's ask God to do that for us. Our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that by your Spirit you have given these words in which we have just now been worshiping you, and we come now by prayer also to worship you, asking that you would give again your same Spirit in our hearing and in our receiving and in our responding to these words. Lord, we confess that as we have gone in our duties this day thus far, we have not so loved the glory of Christ as we ought, as he has earned that we would, as you have promised, and we have good hope that we one day will, when your work that you have begun in us is completed. So we pray for the continuation of that work. We pray that your Spirit would increase our love for the glory of Christ, that we would have that joy and that gladness, not only of being justified in him, but as we heard from the end of Isaiah 45, that we would have that joy not only of being justified by him, but that we would glory in him. And so do this for us, we pray, according to your own word, O God, in Jesus' name. Your children here say, Amen.